All right, everyone. Welcome to International Podcast Day. Welcome to this session. And I think what we're going to talk about today is something that is close and dear to my heart, something that I've been talking about for the last 15 years. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch to presentation mode. Dave, if you want to, I mean, Steve, if you want to just drop the lower third, then I'll flip the slide up and you guys can watch. And we got a lot of slides. I hope you've got your some pen and paper out or a notepad open so you can take some notes. But what I want to talk about is RSS in a modern era. And I guess as a way of introduction, you know, who am I? And for those of you that don't know me, I've been podcasting since October of 2004. I've had a sponsor for my show since June of 2005, which is GoDaddy. I was one of the first groups inducted in the Podcast Hall of Fame in 2015. And most importantly, I'm a podcaster. I do twice a weekly show, Geek News Central. I do a weekly show called Podcast Insider. That's the official podcast of Blueberry. I do the New Media Show with Rob Greenlee, who works over at Libsyn. So two competitors talking podcasting, which is fun. I always tell people, if you listen to this show, you'll get a PhD in podcasting. It is the most in-depth, frank discussion about podcasting that you'll hear in the podcasting space. And I encourage you to tune in. And every podcaster has a pod-fated show, and mine is Podcast Legends. So that will give you a little insight. I've probably done 3,000 interviews. I'm just shy of a few days of having my 15-year anniversary. I started podcasting October 4th, 2004. And I'm almost at 1,400 episodes with my primary show, Geek News Central, but I've been to many events and did a lot of different things that has helped build my show. But I want to take us back in time. I want us to walk back to really 2004. At that time, there was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. MySpace was still a thing. There was no iPhone. Matter of fact, the majority of the devices that we had to consume media at the time were out of reach financially for most people. And when the iPod was introduced to the marketplace, it was truly revolutionary in that up to this point, the biggest device I'd ever had to have media on it or even thought to have media on it was called an iRiver, and it held a whopping 256K of memory, which I could get about 8 shows on it when I synced it to my computer. And when I talk about syncing, that's what we had to do back in those days. We had to, you know, sync the data, sync the media, but it was revolutionary. It really was for us to be able to create content and actually put it on a device that we could walk out the front door with was truly remarkable. Many of you may not know who both these gentlemen are. Some of you may know who one of them is. And of course, the gentleman on the left is Adam Curry, and the guy on the right is Dave Weiner. Dave Weiner is responsible for the creation of the RSS 2.0 spec, and specifically the enclosure tag that really made what we're doing in podcasting the epicenter of where we are today. And Adam Curry and his vision and saying, let's write a little bit of AppleScript to be able to have media linked in an RSS feed and then use an application to be able to pull that media file into a device and be able to take it with us was really the start of something very amazing. And even at that time, there was no Libsyn, there was no Blueberry, none of that existed. All of us were hand coding RSS feeds on our own websites, and it was an ugly process, but it was exciting. We were free. There was no controls. And I think the control word is something that you're going to fit into, because in the podcast early days, it was a very different space. It was about the ability to do things on our own without having to deal with gatekeepers. And creators had very strong opinions in those days. Matter of fact, there was a very large anti-monetization. There was anti-commercialization. You were supposed to do shows for love. And more importantly, we're at a time where we really be able to have freedom from folks that had really controlled the message. You know, you could have a blog, you could have put media on there, but there was no way in the world to get distribution. And the phrase that's on the site right now is kind of what everyone thought, because gatekeepers own media distribution. At the time, if you wanted to get online and be distributed onto an Xbox or any location and be syndicated, you had to go to one of these and many other gatekeepers that really controlled the flow of information in a certain way that they kind of do even today. I remember being in the early days of podcasting, being at a conference and asking a cable television owner, basically a cable company, one that's displayed on the screen here, what would it take to get a channel on the, like, you know how we've got 1,000 channels in most cable boxes now? I said, what is it going to take to me to get like channel 982 and put a podcast on there to have a, you know, how many of those channels are playing music? I thought, why not have a podcast channel on a, you know, on a cable box? And the guy kind of smirkingly looked down at me and said, young man, and I think at the time I was in my 40s, early 40s. And he said, you'll need $10 million in 10 years to get a channel on one of our stations to be able to get so that you can have audio through one of our groups. And, you know, and it really kind of set me back in my seat. But at the time I thought, I don't need this individual. I don't need Clear Channel. I don't need Salem. I don't need NBC. I don't need Fox, because they didn't control what we already had. And what we already had was truly freedom. It was the ability to say what we wanted to say who what we wanted to say to, at what time and how and where. And that was very, very powerful. So again, the 10 years and $10 million was the wake-up call for me that what we have is very special here. Adam Curry used to launch his shows. He said, with $16 million worth of airplanes strapped to my beep and the next generation radio and content in my ears, I'd like to think I'm flying into the future. And that was, if you think about that phrase and what he was saying there, was that we were the next generation of radio. And we see today many folks that are in radio are saying that, wow, podcasting is radio's birthright. That was said by iHeart CEO last week. It's not iHeart's birthright to be in podcasting. We built this space. They can join in and contribute and do media, but it's not their birthright to own or take control of anything in the podcasting space. And what we really had, and I used to call it a revolution, but we had an evolution of being able to essentially have the ability to control where our content went. And it was a very, very exciting time. And what we have to remember is what we have in podcasting is very, very precious. If you want to get on cable today, you still have to go through the same process. If you want to get on radio today, you have to go through the same process. You got to get into a station. You got to get maybe a weekend spot. If you're lucky, maybe it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, to be able to be in a major distribution like Sirius or XM, you know, you have to pay some serious dues. Now, many podcasters have transcended and are moving into those roles, but at the same time, they still have the independency of their shows to be able to do what they want to do, where they want to do it, and distribute and say what they want to say until they get on those platforms where they have to be careful and be mindful of sponsors and, you know, all the things that go into being on broadcast, because you can't say everything you want to say today because you risk having the station lose an advertiser, or you become a social media, social justice warriors come after you. You know, that can happen in podcasting, and it has to an extent from time to time. But what we have is very, very precious here. The RSS feed is the great equalizer. It allows us to do what we do without gatekeepers, without people telling us what to do, telling us how our programming should be run. No one has control so long as the RSS remains an open standard. Again, the RSS is the great equalizer. Because what do we have? We have global distribution without asking anyone for it. Think about that. think about where our content is today and it's how it's being distributed. It's pretty remarkable. And just 15 years ago, this was not possible. You know, 15 years and some months, and this was not even a possibility. Podcast immortality is the open RSS feed. So when anytime anyone starts talking about RSS and they start talking about how it needs to be improved, how it needs to be changed, how it needs to be updated, how it needs to be revitalized, how it could be done better, you need to look very closely at who is saying that and what the agenda is upon which they are making these comments. Because the genie's out of the bottle. No one wants to have our content and have our distribution curtailed. Again, we cannot be taken off the air. And the example I like to give, and it's one that comes from a show that most people in mainstream do not listen to. I think all of you are familiar, if you weren't, when Alex Jones was taken off of Apple Podcasts, when he was deplatformed across Twitter, Facebook, and everywhere else where he was on all these different places where people go today to listen to content. While he was deplatformed off those, because he controlled his site and he controlled his RSS feed, his listeners still have access to his content because he couldn't be taken off the air because he controls his RSS feed. Now, that's an extreme example. But I'm going to talk a little bit later in this presentation about how other groups are being censored and what it really means and what we have to watch out for in the podcasting space. Today, there are modern gatekeepers. And you say, who's the gatekeeper, Todd? Well, let's talk about some well-known organizations out there, and we'll talk about this in context of how they are gatekeepers. And disclaimer, again, I'm not saying that the majority of us will probably never, ever face these issues, but there are groups and people that have that may surprise you. So let's talk a little about Facebook and Facebook jail. Have you ever been put in timeout in Facebook? Have you ever said something in a group and you've broke community standards and you've been put in Facebook timeout for a couple of weeks? This happens on a regular basis. And oftentimes you don't know someone's been in Facebook jail till they get their Facebook account back up and said, hey, I'm out of jail. I'm back after my 2-week suspension. This happens. This happens a lot. Who does it happen to? Well, it happens to people of color. It happens to people that have strong opinions. People are running protests. Happens to, we've heard in the news that at least conservatives say they're being put in Facebook jail. Is it true? I don't know. But when you don't often hear in the news about other groups being put in Facebook jail or their message being suppressed, because Facebook community standards are very arbitrary. Even so, they say they're not. All it takes is one Facebook moderator to put you in jail or deplatform you and take your account away by one thing that you may say or not say, you know, that you think is within or not in standards. So can you lose your Facebook account? Absolutely, you can. So what does that mean? Well, if you've been promoting your show on Facebook and you get put in Facebook jail or you get deplatformed for Facebook because you've said something, you lose access to your community. YouTube. Let's talk about YouTube and what YouTube has done. YouTube started out, obviously, building lots of content, lots of media being submitted over there, right? What is it? Literally hundreds of thousands of hours being submitted every hour, you know, more than that most of us can watch in a lifetime. But what did YouTube do? Well, YouTube had a number of creators that did some content that really got their advertisers very upset. And YouTube essentially then demonetized many shows. People's revenue went way down, or worse yet, they were no longer being found within the YouTube algorithm that basically drove them to top search results. YouTube is like Google. YouTube can give or take it away based upon what they feel about your content, and you can get buried, and shows that get buried end up being demonetized. So YouTube, in a sense, is a gatekeeper. Do I distribute my show to, I do Facebook, YouTube Live, I do Twitch, of course, I want my content to be seen over there. But at what point will something happen where YouTube says, oh, you've done something. We've taken away your taken away your YouTube channel. Twitter. You know, Twitter's really famous now for putting people on suspension, canceling accounts. Will this happen to you? Again, mostly it will not. But these are modern gatekeepers. Instagram. You know, a lot of people are losing their accounts on Instagram because they posted something and maybe they've had a little bit too much flesh being shown, or they say something that upsets someone, triggers something to report them. Instagram, again, is another modern gatekeeper. We all love Spotify. Spotify is giving us great distribution. Spotify is growing audiences, is growing share of ear. But again, Spotify can deplatform you at a moment's notice. Just go ahead and play some music in your show that triggers one of their automated systems, and you will disappear from Spotify, never to return. Same thing happens. What if you say something on Spotify that in your show that upsets the Spotify audience, and Spotify audience complains about you, and Spotify agrees that what you have said is out of their community standards? You're gone. They're a business. They have to keep the advertisers. They have to keep people happy on their platform. So it's probably easily to be the platform. Now, is that happening a lot? I don't think too much. But again, they could be a modern gatekeeper. What if you build an audience over there to 25, 30, 40% of your show, and all of a sudden something happens and no longer you're on Spotify? For 99.9% of us, that'll never happen. But for somebody, it will. And then there'll be a day of reckoning. Pandora's new to the space. They're finding their way. You know, they're very, very, very careful on what they add in shows. They're very risk adverse. So if you have a content that's a little bit, one way or the other, too extreme, they may not even allow you to be on their platform. iHeart, same deal. They are a modern gatekeeper, yet many of you continue to promote, this is the main place to go to listen for my show. You forget about things. Let's talk about Luminary. You know, Luminary had all kinds of issues when they launched. You know, they're putting stuff behind a paywall. So, you know, are they a modern gatekeeper? I think so. But if they come with a check, I'd sign it. So, again, we can't be delisted from our own sites. We can't be delisted from our own feeds. We can't be removed when I'm starting my show. And hey, everyone, this is Todd from Geek News Central. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. You see the places to subscribe on the show. Make sure you get subscribed. But my audience knows where Moonbase Alpha is. It's on my website. It's on my .com. And I control my feed on my .com. I don't rent my transmitter antenna. I own my transmitter antenna. That's mine. If I'm ever deplatformed, guess what? And guess, you know, if you think that you're safe because your podcast hosting company says you'll never lose your show, you'll never lose your feed, that's not true. There have been individuals where there have been cease and desist orders, or maybe they said something inflammatory, something that truly broke our terms of service, where I've actually canceled podcasters' accounts. Every service has had individuals whose accounts have been canceled because they broke community terms of service. You may not be one of those fringe or extreme or have a strong opinion, but just say something once and someone take it out of context and you could be removed from the platform that you're on without notice. You could be taken down from your hosting provider. This is why we feel the Blueberry way, and I'm just going to say this here, is the most important way to podcast. Because if you have your .com and you control your feed on your own website versus renting it on another platform, and we don't care which plugin you use. There's two or three plugins out there that will do this. We're not the only game in town. If you own that, no matter what happens, you cannot be delisted. That's just a simple fact of the matter. almost impossible for someone to have their domain name taken away unless they've done copyright infringement or they lose it in a lawsuit. It's very, very difficult for someone to actually lose their .com or their website. Even people that have done the most horrific things, whether we agree with it or not, usually find a home for their website. And if they have their own feed, they're back in business. We can't be demonetized. We're not up against YouTube. We're not up against platforms that may pay us. We, if you have your control of your own show, yes, you may lose a advertiser, but that will be your own fault. That won't be because someone has changed a business model and decided that what they want to do doesn't fit for their business anymore and leaves you high and dry. Again, we go back to the YouTube situation where people were demonetized because they were on the YouTube platform. YouTube controlled everything of their destiny. So I think you guys are starting to see the pattern here that I'm trying to hit home. We cannot be censored. I was at DragonCon, and I sat in a diversity panel. And I just sat in the back of the room, and I kept my mouth shut. And I heard activists. I heard people of color. I heard women all talking about how they had been censored, how they had been, their content had been suppressed on a multitude of social media platforms. And they talked about how they had success with podcasting and building communities around what normally would probably be either suppressed or censored on platforms. You don't hear about, all you hear in the news is people talking about conservatives being censored on these platforms. Well, it's just not conservatives or supposedly conservatives. It's, again, groups that are have a message. One example that was given in how the media really controls the message that comes to you is that there was a protest, large protest, people of color. And when the news crew showed up, they put the camera in the sole white guy's face that was at that event. And he shared his thoughts, but it really wasn't from the group's leader's perspective. And thus the news ran with that clip. Well, they came back with their podcast that they had on their own website, and they discussed what happened, and they discussed the purpose of the protest. And they were able to build their community around that, and they were able to build their own messaging so that even though the local news would not give them coverage or would not give them a voice, they had a voice. I spent many years in the military, and I truly believe in the freedom of speech. We know that you can say whatever you want, but, you know, you'd be prepared to, you know, deal with whatever, you know, if you slander someone, you're still going to face issues like that. But I truly believe that people's voices are important, and that's why I'm a big supporter of the independent podcast space and how people are able to do shows on all extremes of the spectrum, so long as they're not, talking about harming someone or, you know, we have a terms of service, which we're very explicit on content that we don't allow. But even though I don't allow them to host on my platform, they still, through their own website, can do this without me. And I think that's the key here, is we cannot be censored. Again, censorship is real, but it also depends. And I want to ask you, where does your show live? Does your show live on your .com, or does your show live on some platform? Podcasting gives a voice to everyone. And that's a big difference here. We've come a long ways. When we started podcasting, it was largely the geeks. It was just because we knew we had to figure it out. It was hard. But podcasting gives a voice to everyone, gives a voice to the disabled, gives a voice to people of color, gives a voice to women. And if you look at what happened during the podcast awards last night, more than 50% of the shows that won were women. 10 years ago, that was not the case. But it gives everyone a voice, gives everyone the ability to share their passion and share their message. It especially gives exposure and gives, not exposure, but it gives the LGBTQIA community the ability to have a voice as well. Even the major directories out there do not have categories for LGBTQIA, but yet they're able to get their message out on their own websites, build their own communities. They have a voice. And podcasting is the true freedom of press. And if we take this a step farther, it's a safe space to share. The example I like to give is I was at Dragon Con and a young lady was talking about starting a new show. And she says, I want to kind of get personal. I want to get deep. I want to share about my move to Atlanta. I want to talk about the dating scene, some of the stuff that's happened. It's some really personal stories. And we were having a panel where we were taking input on the shows. And I told the young lady, I said, listen, I said, there's a lot of trolls and there's a lot of nasty people on the internet. I said, so as you're considering what you're going to share, maybe it would be advisable for you to do this on under an anonymous name. I said, seriously consider your safety and being able to contribute and have, I want you to have a voice, but at the same time, I don't want you to put yourself in harm's way. So as people are creating content in the podcasting space, they can be anonymous. If you didn't see the video today, and if I was not a public in the public eye in podcasting, you would hear my voice. You would not see my face. You would not know who really I am. And if I used an alias, I could really get away with that in a big way. So podcasting gives people a safe space to share what maybe they normally wouldn't share where they were more publicly exposed. And we're a global community of people. They're just like us. We're all in this group. We're all sharing information. We're all growing our shows together. And that's the exciting part. You know, we've got a lot of quality content that's being created today. It's really amazing time in the podcasting space. And again, the RSS feed is our great equalizer. It's the ability for us to not have to worry about gatekeepers. Again, the gatekeepers are starting to creep into the space. And we have to be careful of the gatekeepers and remain and keep our independence so that this independent content can continue. And we don't put stuff behind paywalls. We don't put stuff behind password controlled sites. We need to make sure that the medium remains open. And we have to defend that vigorously. And again, we don't need any stinking gatekeepers. We really don't. And am I saying there's gatekeepers actively causing harm in a podcasting space today? No. But it's something as we're heading into our 15th plus year of podcasting, we need to pay attention to this. We need to be aware and just maintain the watch and make sure that the space remains open. I, you know, I'm a big, independent content creators is my bread and butter. And yet from a financial standpoint. But when I started podcasting, I was a podcaster first before I was a business owner. And every person that's part of my team are podcasters as well. So I think as you're working in the space, you need to think about who you're working with, who you're hosting with, who are the people behind the services that you're using? Do they care about you? Are they podcasters? Do they know the struggles you're going through? Do they know the values of what has transpired over the past 15 years and makes the podcasting space special? Because I believe today more suits are arriving. Yes, I have to wear suits from time to time, but I go back to the genesis that I'm a podcaster. I'm in the trenches doing a show. I do 3 shows, sometimes 4 shows a week. And one of them, 2 of them are personal shows where I'm trying to reach new audience and build and, you know, succeed financially with that show. And the other's a business show that's basically giving instruction and giving information and informing podcasters and talking about these types of content. And again, is your show on your.com? Is it? If it isn't, maybe it should be. Is it your brand? Geek News Central has lived at geeknewscentral.com with the feed being at geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml for 15 years. I protect and build my brand. I'm not building my brand on Blueberry. Yes, I am the founder and CEO of Blueberry. But when you come to my website, you have no clue, except for maybe a few icons that I put on the website that somehow... And I did that personally because, I have a lot of people that come check out my site and I drive them over to our business. But most of our customers, when you go to their website, unless you know what the player looks like from Blueberry, you'll have no clue they're hosting with Blueberry because they're on their own website. They're building their own brand. And it's your IP. It's your intellectual property. Again, your .com, your show, your site, your brand, your images, everything is all your IP as a collective. And you want to make sure that you control that. But most importantly about podcasting, I can talk all day, all week about this topic. And I can tell you how to build a big show and things to do to build a big audience. But you know what? This actually should say your rules. It's your show. You build it the way you want to. That's the important thing here. This is the freedom we have. You don't have to be controlled by some suit saying, well, you got to put out 2 episodes a week. We don't ever want to get to that. Now, if you contract for that, then, you know, that's a whole different situation. But we build these shows for ourselves and for our communities and for our listeners. And the most important thing is you build it the way you want to build it. It's your rules. So I went through this pretty quickly. We got lots of time. And, you know, Dave, if you want to come back in, Steve, if you want to come back in, you know, we can kind of talk about this and then we can have the if you want to bring me back live. So the Digital Vibe is saying, I disagree with that Facebook jail. It's not just people of color. Those who take a business, it's all people. Facebook, like YouTube, does not discriminate. Facebook does discriminate. They do. If you had been in the session that I was in, where there was people like you and I, that were talking about their positions and things that they were sharing that were not extreme, they were discriminated against. They were silenced. Their media was pushed down. So I disagree. Now, it doesn't happen to everybody. It really doesn't. But it does happen. And people get put in Facebook jail. And sometimes people deserve to go in Facebook jail. Sometimes they say something and are doing something stupid. You know, so sometimes people do deserve to be put in Facebook jail. But and it's not always the case. Yes, why don't they have streaming podcasting like streaming TV as is Netflix, Amazon? I don't know who you're referring to, but, you know, we do streaming podcasting. Many of us do. I do live. I do streaming live. And it's, you know, very successful for my show. But again, when it goes back to talking about the show itself, my show is distributed. Yes, it's hosted by my company, and many of you have hosts in a variety of different places, and that's great. But I think what you end up with here is we'll want to continue to content and reach people. That's, you know, I think that's fantastic for everyone. That's what we should do. That's what we all strive to do. But I think at the core, again, I go back to the core of having things on in your site, having control in your brand. Or, and again, being with a host that will allow you to move, and that's the majority of people. There's only like one bad player still left in the space that won't let you move. But again, you want to go with someone that's trusted, and there's plenty of trusted hosts that are out there that will allow you to move if you need to move. But there's also a lot of fly-by-night people. You know, we've had to scramble in 3 days before Christmas as a company is shut down and shows were made extinct. Literally 1,000 shows made extinct because the company pulled the plug on Christmas Day and announced it 3 days before Christmas. And those shows never recovered. They never came back because they lost their entire audience. So you always want to work with someone that's trusted in the space, make sure they have a history. And again, there's a number of companies out there that have been in the space for a while that are trusted. So this is not all doom and gloom, but what I'm just trying to emphasize here is that the RSS feed in its current iteration is open. It's not closed. It allows us to do what we want to do. I'm pretty passionate about this particular topic, because I start to see on the peripheral things happening that I question. There are gatekeepers. You know, how come it takes a year to get on certain platforms? because they own the platform. They are the gatekeeper of allowing content to go on their site. They pick and choose. That's their business model. But yet people get mad when they can't be on that site. They say, how come I can't be on here? I've been waiting so long. Well, really, do you want to go and have your audience be directed over there when they really didn't maybe want you in the first place? So I think we have to really be careful of where we tell our audiences to go to consumer content. That's why I'm a strong believer in having a strong web presence. You look what Google is doing today. Let's talk about Google for a second. Google is a 8,000-pound gorilla that's coming into the podcasting space doing some very interesting things. They have a very big team. I spent probably 2 to 3 hours with the Google team at Podcast Movement, picking their brain, trying to get nuggets, asking questions. Sometimes they couldn't answer, but said, yes, you're on the right track. As an example, right now, as Google is picking your shows up and indexing your shows, they're making a transcript of your show. That transcript is not public. That is being used by the Google search engine to be able to, their AI, to learn about specific pieces of content within your show to be able to say, when I search for, let's just use a word, remote controls, because I'm looking at remote control here. When you search remote controls and a podcast has talked about remote controls, it's going to give at some point in the near future, and it's doing this a little bit already, it's going to recommend 5 shows to you. So they are starting to basically use a transcript as a way, as a discovery engine for podcasts. But let's back up. And what does it take to have a good Google rank? If you have your own .com, you control what you say in your website and you focus the message and you make sure that there's no bad links going outbound and you do everything Google SEO-wise to build your audience and build that search engine traffic. For me, search engine traffic to Geek News Central is critical to my show's continued success. I have enough Google traffic coming in that a certain percentage of those people that come to my website click subscribe. And as people leave my show after listening for a couple of years, because audiences don't stay with a show for 15 years, I've had listeners come, go, come, go, come, go. You have to have new people coming in. And how do you drive that discovery? Sure, we're doing social media, Facebook, Twitter, all these different things to drive people into the show. But ultimately, for me, the search engine traffic to my website has been a huge part of that. And I've gave many presentations over that over the years. Matter of fact, last year's International Podcast Day, you can find in the archives where I talked about this. So ultimately, and let's see if I can make sure I don't lose track here, is that Google is going to start looking for tippers on our website. They're going to be looking at your show notes. And if you're using time hacks to drive people to specific time hacks in your content, they're going to start marking. So let's say you write a subject title of your in your show notes that basically says the new TCL Roku TV remote control review. Let's just say that. And someone searches for that term, Google's indexed that, knows where the time hack is, they'll jump people in the future to that specific piece of content. Why is that important? What does this have to do with RSS? Well, what if you're on a platform and there's 10,000 dead shows? What if there's 50 shows on there that have dead links? What if there is 10 shows that are linking to material that you would never, ever in your life link to? Spam sites, people trying to game search engines, and you're on the same platform with these bad players. What that does is that pushes the whole site down and discovery down. And ultimately, you may never surface in the search results. I'm not saying that Facebook Go Jail is not just for people of color. You're wrong. Facebook is discriminating against, and it is an issue. Please start listening to what people have to say that are actually saying they're being discriminated against in Facebook. Please listen to what they actually say in their case studies. Again, I wasn't the one saying it. I was listening to content creators, people that were having these issues. So anyway, going back to, the, I thought it was a new comment. I'm sorry. Going back to the, if you're on one of these sites and there's outbound links or linking somewhere else, your podcast may never be discovered in this new era of search coming to Google search. It may not. And so, again, having your site where you want it to be, where you can control the message, where you can control everything, is really going to be critical going forward to see show growth, because Google is going to drive an incredible amount of traffic to our shows. And you just have to, you know, there's, what are there, 130,000 active shows today? And there's probably in each category, there's 100, 200, 500, maybe 1,000 shows that are similar to yours. How do you break out and be found in that? If you're on a site that has low page speed loads, has all this, has issues, has bad outbound links, has dead content, you're not going to get in that upper tier of results. And again, it goes back, and it, while it's not directly related to RSS and the open spec, it is part of this bigger picture of what we're going to have to do to build shows in the future. You know, Steve and Dave have known me for many, many years, and I have been on this bandwagon. This is nothing new. And I get ostracized. That's the right word. I'm destroying the English language here. Ostracized. Oh, I did it again. But anyway, people have always, oh, you're over talking, Todd. You're over reacting. But yet again and again and again, I am proven right, because I keep seeing things happen again and again and again to podcasters who end up being the victims of, while they're trying to do the right thing, they end up in this position where sometimes it's out of their control, and people's shows go extinct. Again, it's just a whole plethora of me for many years saying, this is something you need to pay attention to, not just the feed. It's this whole big picture of where your show resides and how it's built, how it grows, and that whole ecosystem. So I've talked a lot here, and we're at 44 minutes, not too many questions. And you know, the good thing here is, even though the Digital Vibe and I disagree, what I would expect is I'd expect the Digital Vibe to go on his show and give an opposing view of, you know, why he disagrees with me. And that's the beauty about this space, is we can agree to disagree, and we all have a voice to say what we want to say and believe what we want to believe and do our own research. And I'm always the type that, prove me wrong, you know, that's good. And I'm not saying I am the master of all, because believe me, I've made my own mistakes. As Mike says in the chat room, never promote any site you don't own for your podcast. You know, I listen to 100 shows every 2 weeks. And what do I hear? I hear podcasters again and again and again say, hey, go find my show on Apple Podcast. Good luck. Audience members can't find your show on Apple Podcast. Go over there and look for your own show on Apple Podcasts. And you're going to have to give them explicit instructions. You're going to have to say, go to Apple Podcasts and type the words, and you're going to have to give them the exact string to find your show. Otherwise, they're not going to find you. Isn't it much easier to say, hey, come to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, you can subscribe. I've got all the subscribe links there right in the right-hand column for you to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer, all these different locations. Isn't that more valuable? Isn't that, you drive people back to Moonbase Alpha, back to your site? Instead of, and plus, you say Apple Podcasts, but you forget to talk about Google Podcasts. A new listener that's coming in that's got an Android, they don't care about Apple Podcasts. So give them those options. We are our own worst, best enemies, in that we do stuff all the time that blows me away. I go to podcasters' websites, I can't figure out how to contact them. I can't figure out how to subscribe to their show. It's on page 3. You know, look at your web stats. People never usually make it past your homepage. They better be able to see that you're a podcaster and they can subscribe to your show right there. You've got 3 seconds to catch their attention. And it's really important. If you're a podcaster, the goal is to get people to listen to your show, to discover your show. Yeah, they're going to discover you on these other platforms. That's why we're there. That's why we're there. But when they do discover us on those other platforms, we want them to know where we live, where we reside. And, you know, if you tell someone, hey, come over to my house, without giving them an address, they would just look at you kind of funny, right? Friends know where we live. They know where to come. Hey, come over to the house. Friends drive over the house. They drive in the driveway. You don't have to give them the address every time. They know where you live. So the friends of our shows already know where we live. It's the new people that we have to educate every episode. Where do you live? Where do I find you? And I don't tell them to go to Blueberry. I tell them they can listen on blueberry.com. I tell them they can listen on Spotify. I tell them they can listen via the Apple Podcast app or Overcast or wherever they want to consume the show. But to find me, come back to where the show originates. And I hope that as I've talked about this, it'll make all of you understand the value here of having an ecosystem that allows you to do all the cool things we do on social, get all this exposure, build our shows, and then over the life and longevity of our shows, continue to grow traffic to the website by having rich content that you write, rich show notes, not just a sentence. You know, what the show is about, the topics you covered, time hacks, linking to that content. This is all Podcast 101 fundamental stuff. And there's no shortcuts. A lot of people will go over and use a podcast hosting service that makes it real easy just to post your show via cell phone. And we know that there's that level of podcaster that's out there. And believe me, great form. They're starting a show. They're podcasting. I'm happy. We're welcome to the community. It's great. They have an easy way to get in. But what we find is that they figure out real quick, number one, this is hard to do, and they quit, or they graduate and they start saying, okay, what do I do to really grow this thing? And they graduate out of these platforms. And I see it happen. We see it happen every day. People graduate out of platforms they're on and come and basically start building their brand on their own .com. I'm encouraged, though, is that Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference, which is now the Independent Podcaster Conference, I was out at Outlier. And what I am saying here is the message, same exact message I'm hearing at podcasting events. And I think that everyone's gotten, I'll be able to stop talking about this soon. But the twist that I wanted to add again to today's presentation was basically talking about the value of RSS and where it's gotten us and where we've come from and potentially where we're going. And again, going back to the genesis of this presentation is I want everyone to maintain the ability to have an open way to have our shows heard. This doom and gloom that I was talking about earlier will not happen to hardly anyone, but it could. And if it does, then your audience knows where to run home to find you, to find out what's going on. And they will. You know, what happens when your show doesn't update on Apple Podcasts? You know, we know the audience, or what happened to the show? What happened? And if they come back and it'll come to your website, right? If they only know you're at Apple Podcasts, they're lost. So my audience, when something doesn't update, I get, you know, I record my show. This is when I normally record my podcast, every Monday and Thursday night. And at this exact hour, and I post the show, it goes up about 10 o'clock. And I've made a few mistakes over the years. And by 6 o'clock in the morning, I've got 50 emails in my inbox. Hey, where's the show? Where's the show? It didn't publish. It's not on any of the platforms. And I'll go and look, oh yeah, I made a mistake, but they know where to come and reach me. They don't go looking for me in Apple Podcasts. My audience is trained to come to my website. So I think that, you know, oftentimes we'll get customer support questions. People are like, oh my God, my show's not on Apple Podcasts. And we find out that the podcaster's not even subscribed to their own show. They react to their audience maybe the audience member had a bad connection issue. Maybe the app is corrupted. And the podcaster, the first thing they should do and say the show's not available, they go and check it. They go check and say, oh yeah, my show didn't update on Apple Podcasts. What's wrong? Let me go look at Cast Feed Validator and see if my feed is corrupt or is my feed down or what's the problem? Let me check this out real quick. But no, most of the time they call us screaming, my show's down. And it's usually not. It's usually because someone hasn't updated and they don't even subscribe to their own podcast. So if you're not subscribed to your own podcast in Apple Podcasts or on whatever app that you have, do that today. And when your audience says, I can't hear your latest episode, check it yourself. Then if you can't find it, then call for help or support. We're there for you. But you have to do a little bit of self-policing yourself. Some people even subscribe to their shows and they check it immediately after publishing. I'm too lazy. I don't do that. And it's bit me a couple of times. If you do almost 1400 episodes, you're going to screw up I've actually not pressed publish sometimes. Wake up in the morning and it's just sitting there waiting for me to hit publish. I'm like, well, that was dumb. They didn't get their podcast this morning. And sure enough, I've got 20 emails and say, hey, you didn't put the show up last night. We saw you live, but you didn't do it. So anyway, hopefully you guys have gotten something out of this today. I don't want to be confrontational. I know that, but I think that we have to look at the reality of the world we live in today and know that we're an open and free because we made this to be open and free. We did. Independent podcasters made this space open and free. We can't allow a suit and a tie that has never recorded a single podcast in his life come in with ideas to lock this thing down and put it behind a gate. That would be devastating. And as long as I breathe and do podcasting, I will fight it tooth and nail. And I hope that you'll join me in watching for these types of things. And again, there's different business models behind every platform. And if someone comes to you and you think it's a good deal, read the contract and sign the check or cash the check as fast as you can. I'm not saying don't lock yourself into a narrow thought process. Be willing to, you know, try stuff, but also know that you can revert and you can come back to Moonbase Alpha, your site, and continue to do your show and have your audience there with you without losing them. So I think I'm out of time. I'm at 54 minutes.